Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, March 4th, recording at 9:54 p.m. British Standard Time. First, the global review. Well, the Asian stock markets were a bit mixed in here today. Nothing significant on the downside. There were some reasonable gains, though. The in-form Asian markets right now are Taiwan. That's led the latest charge. It's getting a bit overextended in the short term. South Korea doing very well also. Then Malaysia, also a little bit overextended. And Japan, which is the latest to break out on the upside. Now, European markets, they had some quite good gains in here today. Top gainer appears to be the German DAX index, up 62 points to 4,133. And let's see, FTSE up 34 points, so back near the highs, 4,559. And on Wall Street, Dow, a very small decline, but the other indices were firmer. The S&P was up 3.83. Did I say the Dow was down 5? I think so. The NASDAQ Composite up 21.76. Now that's interesting because the NASDAQ really had been lagging recently. And I'm just going to put that chart up. That needed a rally because we'd had a look at that 2000 level, and which is quite important psychologically, bounced off it for a few days, retraced part of the gain, but again firm in here today. So I will say once again in these broadcasts that there is still no evidence that this overall rally for global stock markets is over. Therefore, I'm still running with it, although fine-tuning a little bit. As you know, I took out a little bit of Croda, a little bit more of Croda, and I'm freeing that up. I was going to pick up some of the Aberdeen New Thai Fund, and I want to ease out of some other small share positions that I have to pick up a little bit of that Investec Energy Fund that I talked about a couple of days ago. Now, as people have pointed out, that fund has a 5% front-end load, so we want to go through either a discount broker or go directly to the company, to the website, and see if you can negotiate that down. That's certainly what I will try to do myself. But you know, at this stage of the market, stock market cycle, I'm certainly prepared to stay with it, but I am gradually reducing exposure overall. And that's been a policy of mine now for the last few months. I'm not trying to squeeze out the last bit of gains with the maximum positions that, say, I had about 6 to 9 months ago. And back then I had a lot of big leveraged positions in futures markets and to a lesser extent in shares, and I'm just not willing to do that at this stage of the cycle because I feel that the risks have risen considerably relative to the overall potential. But that said, as I said at the beginning, there's no evidence yet that this global stock market rally is over. And the hallmarks of a uptrend are rising lows, and most of the indices, if not all of them, still have this progression of rising lows, but I maintain this getting late in the cycle. Okay. What about global government bonds? Well, they were steadier in here today as well. And U.S. Treasuries up 18 ticks at 113.18. Similar sized gains, slightly smaller gains in the U.K. gilts and in Euro bunds. Not a lot going on there. The most significant development recently, though, was that shakeout that we saw in the Japanese JGBs, and I think that's very much related to the currency. And I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't continue. And indeed, the currency is going to be very bullish for the Japanese stock market, while the yen continues to weaken, because this is looking very much like a victory for the Ministry of Finance and the Bank of Japan. It certainly is in the short term. Now, I've written a lot about Japan on the website today, so I'm not going to repeat all that in this audio. But as I speak, we're getting some after-hours trading in here, and dollar-yen is at 111.12. That's up over 1 yen. But they're really... mesmerizing currency move recently. Well, it's mostly been the dollar's rally overall, but the one that most people have been focusing on, even more so than dollar yen, is euro dollar, and that had a range today, a fairly wide range between a low at 121.36 and a high at 122.43. Currently at 122.02. So it did get a little bit of a bounce yesterday, you know, after that sharp fall, getting close to that 120 level, which is a little bit of a psychological support area. And there's a little bit of lateral trading in that region as well. So not too surprising to see a bounce, but it is not in the form of an upward dynamic yet, which would, I think, bring people back into the euro, selling the U.S. dollar in the process. Some of the other currency rates, euro yen up 135.54, sterling yen currently 202.57. Now, as you know, I commented on the key day reversals that we saw in euro dollar, said those are tradable signals, but that I wasn't going to trade it myself. There'll be lots of tradable signals that I'm not going to trade myself, and one of the things that, as general rule of thumb, will prevent me from going into these trades is if I feel that they are counter trend, or what I've often referred to as contra trend, meaning the same thing, these counter trend reactions. In other words, I do not think that the euro's bull run against the U.S. dollar is completely over, although we've certainly seen a peak, which is likely to be a medium-term peak. And I had also said before that reaction started that we had probably seen most of the dollar's overall decline, but probably not all of it. So that's a view I'll maintain in here, and I'm more interested in the knock-on effect that we're seeing from the currencies. And as you know, we've seen a weakness in the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. That's a market that's perhaps one of the more vulnerable ones against the background of the dollar's rally, and because of the concern over deflationary pressures. And the lost the train of my thought there. Here, but the metals, that's it. The main influence has been actually in the metal markets, and we had an interesting day in here today. Most of the base metals steadied a bit. The exceptions were aluminium, which is down just a small amount. The metals that did steady, in copper, that had one of the better gains. It was up. Up about 1.5 cents in the U.S., 46 pounds, beg your pardon, $46 on the LME to 2,891. Tin, third month position, up just $10 to 6,910, but above where I was stopped out. And that move yesterday, and the zinc at 1101, up $4 in here, getting a little bit above where I was stopped out yesterday. But the one that really caught my eye, that I've written about and illustrated on the website, is nickel's move on the downside. And it'll be interesting to see if we get a bounce from that previous reaction low at this level. But as I said on the website, it looks like type 1 top formation with right hand extension as taught at the chart seminar. Pattern certainly dominated by downward dynamics, and I may well take a cautious stance in here and just wait until I see an all clear signal from nickel before I chance my hand in any of the base metals again. Now, I've got to say, in terms of trading in all of these markets. There are times in my career which, as far as these trading these futures markets and metals are concerned, goes back to the early 1970s, although I'd actually been in markets in equities for longer than that. I'm going back to the early to mid-1960s before I actually started my career on Wall Street in 1967, before moving to the UK in the very end of 1969. But what I notice is that first, that metal markets, particularly the industrial metal markets, which are traded mainly on the London Metal Exchange, the one exception to that is the copper contract in the US, but they are exceptionally volatile, and they have very extreme contra-trend reactions, partly because they're thin markets, may have something to do with the way the LME is actually run. I don't know, I don't want to cast aspersions there. But they certainly have vicious reactions. Therefore, I wait until I see trending potential, and then I do trade those with tight, close stops. And of course, in doing that, one gets stopped out on many occasions, as I was yesterday with the tin and the zinc at absolutely minimal profits. Fortunately, the copper trade, I jumped on that at a more propitious time, and that had been one of the outstanding performers, so that was really quite a big gain that I know a number of you people participated in. But what I was going to say also is that in earlier decades in my career, I enjoy the game so much that, okay, I get shaken out of something and I was probably bounding back in or taking another vehicle in the same sector, picking it up again very, very quickly. And with some very, very aggressive trading, and of course you do that and you make some big gains, and you look like an absolute genius if you're buying in the reactions, and they are just very minor reactions, but inevitably you overplay your hand and get sandbagged. In other words, you lose most of the profit, and I'm sort of weary of doing that sort of thing. So really, at this stage, I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to watch and wait. And I'm very aware that a lot of subscribers came in and joined as Fuller Money subscribers last year, and they found that there were some very, very easy profits, some absolutely outstanding profits to be made in stock markets. And then when that seemed to have, well, not to be over, but when I started saying that we'd probably seen the best of the gains and the risk factor was beginning to move up, that I wouldn't be able to do so well in that area going forward into 2004, and that's certainly been the case. But then, of course, then there were the metals and the trades in silver in particular, also palladium. Incidentally, palladium had a good day in here today, 240, 247, up 7. Then, of course, the copper, so on. And so it's quite, it would be forgivable for people to think, well, you know, this is really an easy game in here. And, of course, it's not. It's tough. And we have to wait. And as you've heard me say before, the markets are man-made resources for us to harvest when the timing is right. And when I look around here right now, and the timing doesn't look right in all that many things. My big remaining leveraged metals position is in palladium. Right now, I've got a small position in gold. I think gold is in a is certainly in a buy zone down here. But I've said on many broadcasts that I think gold will get the weakest performance overall among the metals. But I think this is a bit of a dangerous period here. Certainly, until we see this dollar rally peak, if we see some technical evidence that the dollar's bear squeeze is over, and that's not the case today. So the palladium, why am I still holding onto the palladium, and why haven't I been playing that actually with a trailing stop? Well, it's partly the volatility, but it's mostly the fact that it is a very depressed metal relative to the others. Price I'm referring to, obviously, and so that's been very much the laggard. only recently completed its base formation, didn't have the big gains that the other metals had last year or even earlier. So I'm willing to hold on to that a bit more, particularly as I don't have the other positions. And I suspect, looking at today's action here, now first I've described palladium as being very much in the first step above the base. That's terminology that I use it to, at the chart seminar. I've sort of evolved my own terminology and interpretive methods, as my veteran subscribers will know. And the first step above the base, I've said, often takes many months to complete. That was certainly the case with gold, and it was certainly the case with silver. I thought it would probably take less time with palladium because of the development of the bull trends within the within all the other precious metals. And given some of the shakeouts that we have seen, and now with a lot of the hedge funds coming out of a number of these industrial metals, I mean, where are they actually going to look if they want to have a position in these markets? What hasn't moved so much? What looks maybe a bit safer on that risk-reward ratio? And they may well cast an eye towards palladium. Now, this is conjecture on my part, you'll appreciate. I mean, I haven't had any words with anybody to this effect, but it's not a unreasonable conclusion. And why hadn't they done that previously? Well, with the exception of a few players, I think palladium was generally overlooked for the very reason that it was a laggard and that the others were making the running. So people were staying with the ones that were performing best. Although palladium's performance over the last few months has really been quite good, but if we look at it on the basis of the last couple of years, it's been pedestrian until very recently relative to the others. So I wouldn't fall off my chair in surprise if palladium didn't at least hold its own relative to the other metals in here over the short term and perhaps longer. And what else can I mention for you? The oil price, $36.75, still quite firm. Have a great evening.